been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Tuesday. It's the Tuesday live edition, June the 27th, of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our resident chartered financial analyst, and the markets are off to a very good start here. So far today, maybe this little correction that we've just gone through is finally starting to wind down. We've got the Dow up 60 so far. That puts it at 33,774. The S&P is up 14. It's at 4,442. The strength is in the NASDAQ right now, and that's where the weakness has been recently, but for the year, that's where the strength has been. The NASDAQ is up 81 right now. That's 0.6%. And it's at 13,411. Crude oil's down 84 cents to 68.53. It's had a soft year, to say the least. Gold is down, is up $1.80 to 19.35. Silver's up 18 cents to 23. The 10-year is sitting very steady here at 3.71%. Very little movement in the 10-year here recently. The yield curve, you're almost at 100 basis points. So I think we're at 98 basis points as of today. And Bitcoin, which has had one of its best months in a long time, is up $50 per coin. Defying the SEC's crackdown, Bitcoin is at 30,610. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide fee-based only firm. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. And well, yesterday the correction continued. The NASDAQ was down 157 yesterday. A lot of that, you know, it seems like these days, as Tesla goes, so goes the NASDAQ. Right. Tesla was on a tear. You know, you go on a tear, that always draws a few downgrades. Then the stock stumbles. There's also been some downgrades on Google recently. I don't pay much attention to the upgrades. And I pay more attention to the upgrades than the downgrades. But sometimes that can kill the momentum for a bit, and now we've got a little bit of momentum back in the market, especially in the tech sector today. The Russia drama. You know, I was writing the newsletter Saturday morning, Barry, when that news right, was breaking.
You're right. I was referred to it yesterday when I did the show. Yeah,
I was watching it, you know, minute by minute on the BBC website. And who knows, I mean, what would have happened if that Wagner army would have continued marching towards Moscow. You got to think that Ukraine would be sitting back saying, hey, maybe we should try it and keep marching in and take, you know, and there was no resistance offered whatsoever. Now, we don't know what would have happened if they would have crossed a red line. Maybe there was a red line. But you say, well, what does that have to do with the market? Well, can you imagine, I mean, Russia in the hands of an unknown group like the Wagner Group, who are known for their brutality and terrorism and viciousness? Who knows that they don't have access to nuclear weapons themselves? But anyways, yeah, you've got to watch things like that because it could have had a massive... In fact, people were fleeing Russia at that point in time. The ruble was plunging, Bitcoin was going up, and other coins that Russians were putting their money into. So there was a lot of
drama. All while you are pinning the story for the newsletter, right?
Yeah, my original story was just about our featured stock of the week, and the headline became, "Will the Putin administration survive?" Because you know, when I sent the article out, it was not resolved, and it was shortly thereafter that he halted the march. They made the deal. I don't know if he thought that maybe the country would join in on his march north and he couldn't rally any support. I'm not quite sure. There's a lot that we don't know there.
Kim Boone, whatever it was, at least for the moment, came to what seemed to be a pretty abrupt halt, right?
Yeah, just boom, gone. Okay, so anyways, we'll see what that means going forward. It has not affected the energy markets at all, the oil markets, and it has not affected the gold markets. Normally, you would see a big jump in gold prices when, you know, an extraordinary global event like that that occurs.
Well, that was the surprise yesterday, just in terms of how resilient the market was. I think the only place I really almost really noticed anything was in the, you know, in the wheat markets. I think, I don't know, wheat was up 2.5% at one point, right? And that was, you know, pretty much it. Everything else, it was almost a non-event.
Yeah, it was. Okay, well, anyways, Tesla kind of led the market yesterday down. It was down 6%. After Goldman Sachs became the latest brokerage to downgrade the stock following its stellar run-up this year. I think Tesla is back in the green today. Not by much. It's up 1.2%. And there definitely is a correlation between Tesla and especially the NASDAQ, the high-tech stocks. And Tesla's had a little bit of a correction here. We've got a lot of economic data coming in today. They're gathering in Portugal. Wouldn't that be nice, you know? I should have been a member of one of these central banks.
But they were at Amelia Island just a few weeks ago, right? So
Far from us. And right. today they're meeting in Portugal. The world's biggest monetary policy makers, eating, octopus and all the fineries of Portugal. I would have always wanted to go to Portugal. The conference brings together bank governors, academics, financial market officials, and others to exchange views on the current monetary policy issues. Oh, that's got to be exciting. This year's forum is titled Macroeconomic Stabilization in a Volatile Inflation Environment. Obviously inflation still is a problem. I mean, they have not put that one to bed yet. There's also been rapid changes in the energy markets this year and last year, and Russia's war continuing in Ukraine. I think at the end of the day, it's all going to come down to the coming PCE inflation report, the CPI, the PPI, etc. For now, it seems like Powell is leaning in the direction, or he's bluffing with a few more rate hikes in the next several months.
Well, in today's data, we've got a good bit of economic news this week, and today's data that's came out seems, at least on the surface, to be pretty strong, at least compared to expectations. But I think a lot of folks have some very low expectations in terms of what some of these next couple earnings quarters are going to be.
Yeah, you know, and I think China has kind of held the markets down this year. You know, everybody looks to China in several ways. You know, their manufacturing is a big indication of the rest of the world. We trade with China, and China buys from us. They've been pretty weak, but they did, and this may be the biggest reason why the market is up so far. China's premier says that economic growth is on track to reach their 5% target, and it's going to be higher in Q2. So, anyways, I still think that, you know, when they go out there to speak and talk about the economy, they ask Xi, what do you want the numbers to be? And she slips them a little note of paper. Say 5%. Okay, that sounds pretty good. Well,
nice
anyways,
round number, right?
Yeah, anyways, that's good news out of China. Okay. Bank of America noticed broad-based equity outflows last week, led by institutional clients. Well, you know, I would say two things. The market's come a long ways in a very short period of time. It's been very strong out of the gate. But I think that the Fed, so there's profit taking. That's one thing. And the second thing is the Fed, you know, kind of not saying, I think we're done for the year. They did not say that. They definitely, you know, kept those two rate hikes dangling out there, and maybe that spooked some institutions out of the market. I don't know.
And hit some technical resistance. I think you mentioned that as well from a technical standpoint. You hit a few, particularly S&P 500 hit some technical resistance, especially getting past that 4,200 level.
Well, our friends at Morgan Stanley, who are, you know, pretty much perma bears, what are they saying? They've got a new thought out on the markets. I always like to read their thoughts. They're a very good contrarian indicator. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson and chartered financial analyst Barry Kite. Dow now up 96, S&P up 14. NASDAQ has come down a little bit of profit taking, but it is up 54 points. I have not had a chance to really dig in to the individual stocks yet. That tells me more than anything, but we're definitely tilted to the upside. Today, after several days of correction, it seems like ever since they started talking about those two more rate hikes, it pretty much put the brakes on the market for now. And that's probably what they wanted to do, right? They probably said, you know, this market's getting a little hot here. We better put some brakes on there. Well, Morgan Stanley, it's the old, is the cup half full, is the cup half empty? They always see it as half empty.
They got a broken glass.
Always. Morgan Stanley says the market headwinds significantly outweigh the tailwinds. Okay, so what would the headwinds be? There's no recession out there in sight yet. There will be one at some point in time. We're going to see record earnings this year. We're going to see record earnings next year. The job market continues to be very strong. The last Fed move was finally going to zero. But they say market headwinds. Let's see what their headwinds are, all right? They highlighted declining expectations that it sees in the S&P 500. It surveyed 2,000 individuals to gauge consumer sentiment and behaviors. Okay, well, individual investors are usually wrong. In our view, the headwinds significantly, not just a little bit, Barry, significantly outweigh the tailwinds. We believe risks for a major correction have rarely been higher. You know what? This is what you call doubling down. I mean, this
right. sounds that way. To me, the headwinds are, you know, are the fact that the economy may not cool as fast as the Fed is looking to. I mean, everything that came out today had a great durable goods orders. You know, home prices are up. New home sales, you know, I think are up 20% compared to last year. Consumer confidence was up. You know, I mean, you know, some of that data you would actually have liked to come in, maybe a bit softer to help kind of pacify the Fed a bit. But yeah, I mean, economic, you know, in terms of when you look at economic data, at least this, the four numbers that we've gotten so far today, it kind of would say the opposite in terms of, you know, in terms of economy and tailwinds or headwinds.
Well, this is our friend Mike Wilson, who you wouldn't think he'd be very good for business at Morgan Stanley, you know? I mean, look.
I enjoy reading his notes, the outcome, yeah, it's usually a pretty dire
almost
forecast.
Always. Yeah. Wilson went on to add, our view is that the S&P 500 is at risk of a near-term drawdown. Well, he's been saying that now for 3 years that I can think of. Our targets for the index are 3,900. They have kind of raised them a little bit for this year. And 4,200 for early next year. So obviously we're ahead of that. We're almost at 4,400. Supporting the institution's bearish outlook is some of the results that came from the recent survey of 2,000 consumers in the U.S. Boy, I wouldn't put much weight in that. Well, anyways, you know, it's always good to see the counter side of things, the contrary side of things, and they definitely like to be on that contrarian side. Home prices rise more than expected in April. Well, on the one hand, that's good. On the other hand, that's a inflation indicator.
Exactly.
All right?
And it's a big part of it. You know, it's a big part of the inflation number.
So. Yes. And seasonally adjusted composite for 20 cities plus 0.9% versus 0.5 consensus, which, you know, I see that showing up in the home building sector. That continues to be the tech sector's number one sector in 2023. Number two sector, which defies kind of odds, is the home building sector. And the only conclusion you can come to is that supply must be way below demand.
Yep.
Now, here's a couple of things. People that have an existing home are very reluctant to sell because they got to turn around and get a 6% plus a mortgage.
Sitting on a great mortgage or no mortgage.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
So there's not a lot of used homes for sale, obviously. And, you know, you can only build new homes with all of the headwinds there are against building new homes and the permitting process and all this and that. That's the only thing you can explain, because you would have thought that the rising interest rates would have really cooled off the housing market. But I look at these housing stocks like Beazer and Lennar and Pulte Homes and Toll Brothers and D.R. Horton. They go up on almost a daily basis, and they keep reporting these fantastic earnings. So obviously there has to be a big discrepancy between the supply of homes and the demand.
Well,
now,
I just think the fact that it's up 12.2% month to month, up 20%, you know, year to date in terms of the, you know, this time last year. So, and rates hadn't even, you know, your 30-year, you know, those folks were, you know, kind of already locked into lower rates at that point, especially if you were doing a new construction loan. So it's it's a pretty interesting to see how the breakdown is, and like you said, that's going only going to keep, you know, keeps rents
that's
higher,
makes
a stickier part of the inflation figure.
Yep. Now I have two guys that are friends here, young guys. One is an intern, and the other one is actually working for Greystone. They're the biggest builder of apartments in America, and they're headquartered here in Charleston. And you know, I kind of checked with them. They said things are gangbusters, right, for rental and occupancy rates and all this and that. Okay, now here's the good news story of the day. How'd you like to lose 58 pounds? I'd take that. Lily says patients saw a mean, this is the average weight reduction, of 58 pounds on their drug retatrutide. That's a hard one.
You always give those a good attempt.
Who sits around and comes up with the names of these drugs? I've seen some weird ones recently. Usually I'm watching Major League Baseball and they've got some drug that I can't pronounce that's going to do the, but hey, look, 58 pounds. Okay, that's got to get your attention. Now, here's the caveat. They're only in phase two clinical trials, okay? They still have phase three to come, which evaluates the safety and the effectiveness in chronic weight management, sleep apnea, and knee osteoarthritis, because they all go together pretty much. It's another one of these GLP-1 agonist. We've got Lilly's Mounjaro and Novo's Wegovy. Take a pill, 58 pounds in 1 year. We'll be right back. This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show. To the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show with Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. We haven't checked in on Disney recently. It is really a dull stock. I pulled the plug on the stock maybe, I don't know, 5-6 weeks ago, something like that. Now you've got DeSantis, Governor DeSantis, seeking to dismiss the Disney lawsuit against him. They are suing him personally as the governor because they claim that he is targeting them. He is claiming immunity, legislative immunity, and the company lacks standing to sue him. Well, we'll see what happens with that lawsuit. Barron's likes the oil drilling stocks. Now, I've been a follower of Barron's. You know, look, since before I was ever in the business, it comes out to every Saturday. It's still pretty much in its same format. Barron's is known for being contrarian investors. And I wrote an article for Barron's many years ago. And I don't really fancy myself, Barry, being a contrarian, deep value, out of favor.
That's what I was about to say, deep value, for
yes.
Sure. It's a very, very, very value-focused. Always liked, he passed away, I don't know, maybe 10 years or so ago, the guy who wrote the first the first article. That's really the only reason I ever would open Barron's is read
good.
That first. Yeah, I would read that. I think it was A Walk Down Wall Street, maybe is what the name of the column was, but... but yeah, as a whole, you're right. It's very, very value oriented to a fault.
Yeah, and you know, after I wrote my article, they kind of called. They did a long interview with me, one of their head editors. I think they were trying to figure out what kind of an investor I was, and asked me a lot of questions along those lines, like what kind of stocks do I currently like and whatnot, and. I think they determined at that point that, I was not a good
fit. You didn't fit their niche. You didn't fit their niche. Huh?
Yeah. So, I mean, look, I'm not going to change my style of investing. So you look at the oil drilling stocks. Barron says that they could be gushers. Well, you know, I've watched the oil drilling stocks for a long, long time. Transocean Rig, which was involved in the big oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico. They like Schlumberger. Well, the former, now they call it SLB. They like Noble. They like all the usual suspects, Diamond Offshore, Seadrill, Valaris. And I'm just not on board with that assessment. I look at the IYI. That's the energy ETF. It's one of the weakest ETFs in the entire market. So that's their style, though. They pick stuff that is way out of favor, deep value. I don't know that anybody's ever come up with a track record for them over the years on how they've done. I used to go through Barron's looking for ideas, and I can't say that I ever found any.
Well, they got a lot of different opinions, you know. That's the other thing, too, is, you can almost sometimes you can read an article about the same name, right, and get two different outcomes or perspectives.
Yeah, I used to like their round tables where they would have all these big guys like Peter Lynch and whatnot, get all these different opinions. And, you know, all of these guys have big egos, guys or gals. They have huge egos, and they're not going to back down from their opinions. Anyway, Walgreens. I say kick them out of the Dow. Walgreens Boots Alliance reported earnings. That stock is tanking today. It's down 9.7%. Let's replace Walgreens with Amazon. I'm going to start a campaign, get a bumper sticker, protest downtown, march, whatever I got to do, you know, to get Walgreens. It's just, you know, it's such a boring piece of the Dow. They miss again. They lowering their earnings guidance, which isn't good. I mean, they're a member of the S&P 500. But then again, it doesn't surprise me because they've done that consistently over the years. Let's see. Meta Platforms continues to hit new highs. All right. It's been one of the studs here in 2023. It's up to 284. It got down to 88. 88. We could have had it at 88 in October. And now it's 284. It's still hitting new highs. Their WhatsApp business application now has more than 200 million users on its platform, up from 50 million nearly 3 years ago.
Well, I'll blame Zuckerberg. If he was more likable, then we might have owned it.
Yeah, you know, really, it's kind of incredible that Meta doesn't make more money. I mean, with the kind of eyeballs they have on Facebook and on WhatsApp, it's amazing they don't make more in advertising revenue. But anyways, you know, it is what it is. A very successful company at drawing in people, creating content and a social platform that people are using. Lordstown Motors finally calling it quits. That doesn't surprise me. You know, they leased that plant in Ohio during the Trump administration. He went there. He was driving one of those Lordstown trucks. They finally filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. Of course, it was just a matter of time. The stock's down 30%. It's at $1.93. Now, watch. The Reddit crowd's got to be circling this one. You know, they love stocks that declare bankruptcy. You know, they had big plans. They were going to design 600. They have that 640-acre 6.2 million square foot assembly plant. They'll probably turn it into an Amazon hub, something like that. But anyways, they declare bankruptcy, all kinds of trouble there. It never worked out. That was an old GM plant. Delta Air rallies after setting strong guidance. Well, you know what? We were in the airport recently. Look at Delta hitting a new 52-week high. I have a hard time with airline stocks. I have a hard time with airlines. So did Warren Buffett. So did Peter Lynch, because they're so all over the place. But Delta is hitting a new high. It's up 3.4%. That's a good indicator of how strong. So, look, okay, I could call 2,000 consumers across America like Morgan Stanley did, or I could walk over to my local airport and walk inside, right? Did you see the lines at the Chick-fil-A and the different. It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's just incredible, you know, how busy we were. I was in the Charlotte airport. It was incredibly busy. And then, of course, the Minneapolis airport, I wasn't really in the heart of it, but it was pretty busy. Okay, some AI stories. Snowflake rises. It announces an NVIDIA partnership for generative AI. How's NVIDIA doing today? It's flat. How is Snowflake doing today? And, you know, there's another. That correction continues to hit the AI stocks, which really took off, and now they're getting a little bit of a haircut. But you got to still like AI over the next several years. Baidu says its Ernie bot runs circles around ChatGPT. Okay, well, we're going to have to try it. We'll have to try Ernie sometime. Baidu is up 1.7%. I don't know that I trust a Chinese bot. I don't know that I trust a Google or a Microsoft bot either. You got another player, Unity Software. They're getting in on the rush, the gold rush. It's up 9.8% as it unveils an AI marketplace. And Wells Fargo starts coverage. Well, Unity's been around for a while. The symbol is U. I had someone write to me yesterday, do you have an AI strategy? And I listed the stocks that we own that are currently considered major players in AI. Elon Musk Starlink is being tested by Japan's armed forces. We know that they're using Starlink in Ukraine. I have a Starlink dish at my home. That's my ultimate backup. You know, we had an almost hurricane. I think it was last year. Yeah, it was last year. It was bad. It was 70-mile-an-hour winds, but it wasn't quite where you had to evacuate and all that. And everything went down. All the internet went down, but Elon Musk satellite, just perfect. I had perfect internet. I was probably the only one in Charleston with perfect internet. Let's see, ChargePoint, with everybody going to the Tesla standard. Now ChargePoint says we'll make Tesla machines, deployments. And, there was a debt offering that I noticed today. Hyatt Hotels, I mean, that's pretty high quality. What's the rate, going rate these days? 5.75 for the next 4 years. 5.75. I've had people say, Bill, I'd be so happy if I could just make 5% a year in the market. Well, there's 5.75. We'll be right back.
You gotta go where you wanna go and do what you wanna do.
Back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, pretty good economic numbers coming in here today. You had, what was it, the durable goods and the home. The home, your home is still going up in price. People want it, obviously.
And if they don't want your home, they want a new home.
Yeah, they want a new home, and if they can't find a new home, they're renting. So the real estate market, now the part of the real estate market that's not strong is downtown San Francisco, downtown New York City, downtown Boston, etc., where people are still a lot working from home, and downtowns aren't what they used to be. We haven't really protected and preserved our downtowns. We've kind of let them go to you-know-what. Anyways, in the Dow, well, it's good that that Walgreens is not only in the Dow index, it's in the NASDAQ index, and it's in the S&P 500. It's bringing down and holding down all three indexes. I say kick them out of the Dow for sure. Why should it be one of the 30 stocks? I don't know. I'd rather see Amazon myself in there. Home Depot's up 1.4%. It's the leader on the Dow. Nike's up 1.2. Verizon up 1.2. DuPont up 1%. Apple, I would just say what's lacking today in the gains in the market, there's nothing really exciting. You know, unless Tesla's up 4% or Microsoft is breaking out or Google's breaking out, there's none of that really going on today. It's just kind of a general lukewarm across the board is what I would say. For whatever reason, in the S&P 500, Generac is up 6.3%. I know that the hot weather, which began in Texas and is sweeping across the country, and there's also been a lot of pretty violent storms.
We already got some, yeah, kind of already an active hurricane season potentially. So.
Yes, and our son-in-law who's in the Army in Arkansas near Little Rock, he's stationed there right now. They've been without power for two and a half days.
From the tornado?
And just high winds and something knocked out the power, and they don't have any backup. I'm getting my Generac this Thursday, supposedly. I'll let you know. It took me a year from the local vendor.
I'll know where to come when needed.
Yeah, if you need to heat up a pizza in the microwave, come over to Gunnarsson's house when the power goes out. I'm more worried about taking care of the clients. You know, I've got my satellite dish for internet, and I've got my Generac. Now, last resort, I got these beautiful little olive oil candles made in Jerusalem, like Jesus used. You know, that's my last.
Yeah, that's what you. Yeah, you told me about those.
I got all my little grandkids one. I said, keep your lamps filled. Now I don't want to see your lamp. That olive oil really burns nice, beautiful. Just this nice, clean flame that, you know, it's kind of fun. That's my last resort. Okay, and charcoal, right? Charcoals. And wood, you know, in case everything goes out. Okay, in the NASDAQ, QQQ, Siri up 4.1%. That's actually Sirius Satellite Network. Yeah. NetEase, China up 4%. China having a good day. The airlines having a good day. American Airlines up 3.6%. I have to say, I flew American Airlines to Minneapolis and back. I had a good experience. Other than the, you know, the act of God, which shoved a ladder on wheels, wedged it underneath the wing of the plane. Right. We deplaned. They still couldn't get it out. Finally, they said, we can't use this aircraft. 5-hour delay. But, you know, you can't blame American. The service was very good. Booking.com, which is another service I like a lot. It's been one of the great stocks of all time, the old Priceline. It's up 2.3%. Meta, which just continues to go up every day practically, it's up 1.9%. I'm sure that news on WhatsApp is helping it. And on the downside, Walgreens down 9.5%. It's in the NASDAQ too. And Google's down 1.1%. Then one other thing here to think about, okay, I never really thought of this. A backpack that the military wears is about 65 pounds. And a lot of that these days is battery. Okay, they have so much high-tech equipment, it all runs on batteries. This company, ENVX, got a big order from the military for batteries for their backpacks for the soldiers that need to run all of this stuff on lithium-ion batteries. So ENVX is a play there. And then there is a biotech that's up over 81% right now, Black Diamond Therapeutics. You know, almost the same thing happens every time they get a huge day like this. This is on a lung cancer drug. Then they do a secondary offering in the aftermarket to loot the shares like crazy. They take advantage, and the stock gets clocked over the next several days. That's the usual pattern of these big one-day movers, morning glories in the market. All right. Well, I had my featured stock of the week last week. I saw that it got an upgrade, too, here recently, I think maybe on Friday. I didn't know that before I wrote the article. It's probably one of the best growth stories in the market out there today. It's not a big stock. It's not a little stock. It's just above little. But you know what? These growth stories came along. I remember a huge winner in that sector that I talked about for many years back in the early 2000s that became a huge winner. And this one's kind of following that same course. We'll see if it can become a huge winner also. If you didn't get the newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. Now, Barry's been busy. He's meeting with folks. We met with a lot of people in Minneapolis. We offered them plans. Many of them, I don't think any of them had a plan. I can't say that any of the people we met with really had an official plan that they were going to follow. So if you're looking for a plan, we include that in the money management that we do for you. You can set up an appointment with us at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. You can see how our portfolios are doing by getting the newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.